Hello, everybody. Please allow myself to introduce myself. I'm your host, Captain Marvelous, and welcome to the 94th episode of I'm Batman, the podcast, the show where I chronologically review each episode of the 1992 Batman the Animated Series. You may notice I sound weird. That is because last night I was at the WWE Elimination Chamber pay-per-view in Las Vegas, screamed my lungs out, lost my voice, so I'm going to try to get through this. I apologize for the voice, but you know what? Without further ado, let's dance the dance. They dance in France. Let's get to it. This week's episode is titled Growing Pains, original air date April 25th, 1998. Maybe if I try to do a lower voice, I sound better. I notice my throat hurts when I talk normally, but if I do this type of voice, it's not as bad. We start with a fashion show where an older heavyset lady is marveled at what the young models are wearing. She tells her husband she needs to buy one, and he says, "For who?" So she smacks him over the head with her purse in anger. Suddenly, the show is interrupted by a woman wearing a porcelain mask and wearing a green leotard. She is surrounded by three muscular men wearing Chippendales outfits. And I mean Chippendales like the male strippers, not the cartoon chipmunks who solve crimes. They throw Easter eggs into the runway, which explode into clouds of smoke. The masked woman runs to the stage and throws another Easter egg at the woman who is hosting the show. The egg explodes and ribbons fly out of it and tie her up. The host is then taken away by the Chippendale henchmen. The masked woman places a calendar page of the month of April with the third day circled onto the stage, and she gets away. We're at Gotham PD, and the press are trying to find out about the kidnapping. Bullock pulls up, and they ask him questions. They say they heard a ransom note was left, but Bullock tells them that it's a page from an old calendar. He says, "This calendar girl's days are numbered." So there you go. We got the name of our villain, Calendar Girl. Bruce Wayne and Lucius Fox are in Wayne Towers talking about plans for an auto show, but Bruce seems distracted by the newspaper headline of, "Who is Calendar Girl?" Which is misspelled, by the way. Lucius tells Bruce about the retirement dinner of one of his employees, and Bruce is shocked that the man is retiring. Lucius tells him 65 is the mandatory age for retirement at Wayne Corp, and Bruce just seems upset by this. And I meant Wayne Enterprises, I don't know why I said Wayne Corp. Lucius mentions how sooner or later everyone gets old, and Bruce seems concerned by this. We fade to Bruce riding in the limo with Alfred, and he's looking himself in the mirror, checking for gray hairs. Alfred can't park the car because there is a van blocking both drop-off points, and Alfred pulls up next to the van. Bruce sees one of those Chippendale henchmen, so he tells Alfred to drop him off somewhere more private. They drive away. Inside of the car show, a new car is revealed. This is a whole fancy thing about it, and everyone goes wild. Calendar Girl shows up this time dressed in yellow with a USA flag pattern sash and top hat. Her henchmen are also wearing the Uncle Sam hats. She tosses the hat at the man who unveiled the car, and it explodes into fireworks. The henchmen then shoot fireworks from their hats and start blowing up the cars. Calendar Girl uses her sash to tie up the car guy. She grabs the model, and we get this pretty funny line.
No, please, I'm too young to die.
Honey, you're never too thin and you're never too young.
Batman shows up and Calendar Girl lets the model go. Batman goes after the car guy but gets attacked by Chippendales. They try to run him over with a motorcycle, so Batman kills them. Calendar Girl shows up and shoots fireworks from her fingers, just like Jubilee, the most useless X-Men. This stops Batman for some reason. And Batman is almost killed by a tow truck, and Calendar Girl throws a calendar page at Batman and gets away. This time, the calendar's date is August 7th. We're at the Batcave, and Batgirl is researching every news article of August 7th from the last 20 years. She finds a picture of a woman and Batman thinks that she looks familiar.
Ta-da!
Who is she? She looks familiar.
She should. Paige Monroe. Her face was just about everywhere for a few years. She used to be a spokesmodel for a number of major companies, including...
Let me guess. Gotham Motors and Donna Day.
Right. Until both companies announced they were dropping her in favor of a new youth-oriented campaign.
On April 3rd and August 7th. I do remember. Pretty girl.
Don't you mean woman? She was your age when she made that commercial, Bat Boy.
We cut to a movie studio where we get a scene that is just very uncomfortable. It's basically a fat, bald, ugly producer trying to get a young woman to sleep with him so she can get the role she wants. So the less said about that, the better. Batman shows up and interrogates the sleazeball. Batman wants to know what happened to Paige Monroe. The sleazeball used to be Paige's agent. He says she got old, she turned 30, and nobody wanted her anymore. Dude, 30-year-old women are beautiful. 40-year-old women are beautiful. Maybe it's my age speaking, but there's nothing wrong with women older than 30. But this is the world of modeling, I guess, and I'm not going to get into what makes or doesn't make a woman beautiful. The sleazeball says that he tried to get Paige into a sitcom, but the networks never picked it up. He says that he's heard rumors of a plastic surgery gone wrong. The doctor nipped when he should have tucked, is what he says. We cut to an old ballroom or club where the Chippendale henchmen are holding Car Guy and Fashion Lady hostage. The Car Guy and Fashion Lady, and they have names, but I don't really care. You shouldn't either. It doesn't really matter. But okay, so Car Lady and Fashion Guy try to bribe the henchmen into letting them go. But then they start bickering with each other about who has more money. Inside our dressing room, we see Calendar Girl without her mask, but her face is hidden in the darkness. A henchman walks in and she flips out. She puts her mask on and yells at him, tells him no one is ever allowed to see her face. We cut to another movie set where the GWB Studios, and that's like Gotham Warner Brothers Studio or something, is holding a premiere party to showcase all of its new shows.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us here today for our network's Look Into the Future. The GWB is staking out new frontiers this season with innovative shows like Model Students, a hard-hitting drama about three young women dealing with the pressures of modeling school.
Don't cry, Dana. So you weren't picked for the swimsuit issue. It's who you are inside that counts.
Oh, I love you guys.
You're busted!
Teen Cop. Inner city street drama with a fresh attitude.
Education rules!
And Malibu Vets. The heartwarming adventures of a group of young beach-going veterinarians.
We interrupt this program to bring you some real entertainment.
Calendar Girl shows up riding a fan. Like a huge size of a building fan. She turns it on and the henchmen start dumping dead tree leaves as the fan blows everybody away. Calendar Girl is dressed all in red this time. She throws an exploding pumpkin, Green Goblin holiday, I guess, and kidnaps the head of the studio by kicking him hard in the chin. Batman and Batgirl show up in the Batmobile, but Calendar Girl throws one of her earrings at them and it explodes into a huge cloud of smoke, letting Calendar Girl get away. Batman and Batgirl go after her, but they run face to face into a dinosaur, a T-Rex. Calendar Girl is controlling a giant Tyrannosaurus Rex robot that tries to kill Batman and Batgirl. This reminds me a lot of Superman, the animated series, where I believe it's the first or second episode, he also fights a robot T-Rex. We get a cool action scene of Batman fighting a T-Rex. I mean, come on! That is so freaking cool! Batman gets thrown hard into a tree and is almost bitten in half by the T-Rex. But Batgirl manages to tie up its mouth before it can kill Batman. The T-Rex breaks the rope and runs after Batgirl. The T-Rex has Batgirl cornered. When Batman shoots a grapple to the T-Rex's head, he ties it to a huge structure of lights. The T-Rex walks and pulls the structure, causing it to fall on top of it and destroy it. Batman finds another calendar page with the date October 27th circled. We fade to Bruce Wayne meeting with the employee who's being forced to retire. But at that moment, he gets a call from Batgirl. She tells him that Calendar Girl still owns an abandoned nightclub called Faces, and Bruce says that he'll meet her there. Bruce tells the retiring man that he can't make it to his retirement dinner.
I'm afraid I won't be able to attend your retirement dinner, Bernie.
I understand, sir. You're very busy.
Actually, I've decided to cancel it.
Cancel?
I'm changing the retirement policy. You can work here for as long as you can do the job.
Yes!
We cut to Calendar Girl's hideout, where she is explaining her motivations to the people that she kidnapped. She's showing them, like, old pictures of herself that she puts up on a projector.
Yes, I was gorgeous once. I had everything. I used to be a face. I used to be the face. Until you destroyed me. Destroyed my career. I tried to get it back. For 10 years, I starved. Sweated, subjected my body to surgery after surgery, and for what? Days became weeks, weeks became years, until my time ran out. Now I only have one holiday left to celebrate. The Day of the Dead. And you're going to celebrate it with me.
So Calendar Girl appears from behind the projection screen, and she looks amazing. She is dressed all in black with her white mask and a giant scythe like a female Grim Reaper. She starts swinging the scythe to scare the hostages, but as she is about to actually kill them, the scythe gets knocked off her hands by a batarang. Batman and Batgirl show up, and they beat up the Chippendale henchmen. Calendar Girl fights Batman with her scythe. She has the slides of her old modeling picture still up on the screen. And we see that the projector has caught fire. Batman slips on a piece of wood, and Calendar Girl is about to kill him. But her pictures are now on fire, and her face starts burning on the screen. She freaks out. She's like, "My face!" Which gives Batman a chance to knock her the hell out. And then he ties her up. We cut to later as the police are arresting everybody. And Bullock is arresting Calendar Girl.
Did you read her rights?
Yes, sir.
Then she knows they don't include this.
Ah! No! Don't! Don't look, please! Oh, no.
She's beautiful.
She can't see that anymore. All she sees are the flaws.
Bullock removes her mask, and Calendar Girl falls on her knees crying as she stares at her reflection on a piece of broken glass. The end. So we actually have quite a few after show notes for this episode. We got a lot of fun voice actors for this one. Calendar Girl herself is voiced by Sayla Ward, and you may know her as House's ex-wife in the TV show House, or as the new president in Independence Day Resurgence, which was a 2016 film, I believe. Or as the lady doctor in the movie The Day After Tomorrow. The car guy is voiced by Dennis Haybert, who you may know as the president in the TV show 24, or as the Allstate commercial guy. You know, the guy with the deep voice who you hire when you can't get Denzel Washington? The fashion lady is voiced by Tippi Hedren, mother of Melanie Griffith, and best known for her role in the classic Hitchcock movie The Birds. The TV executive who gets kidnapped is played by Charlie Rocket, from a former SNL cast member and best known as the bad guy in the first Dumb and Dumber movie. And lastly, we have, as the sleazy TV producer, Barry Bostwick, who is best known for his main role in Rocky Horror Picture Show and as the mayor in the TV sitcom Spin City. The character of Calendar Girl is actually an alternate take on an existing Batman villain who wasn't very popular and was actually just a joke character until recently. So it's very reminiscent of Mr. Freeze. So let's talk about Calendar Man. And I apologize about my voice once again. Calendar Man is named Julian Gregory Day. Wah, wah. He was created by Batman co-creator Bill Finger in Detective Comics number 259 on September 1958. Calendar Man was a really stupid villain. He was dressed in a red suit with a cape made out of several calendar pages. His gimmick is that he would commit his robberies on important holidays or events based like on important dates, making him a very predictable villain for Batman. In 1996, he was made into a Hannibal Lecter-like serial killer for the story The Long Halloween. He was redesigned as a pasty white, almost albino-looking bald man with the months of the years tattooed on his head like a crown. In this story, he helps Batman get an inside look into the mind of a maniac so that Batman can catch the holiday killer. So it is very reminiscent of Silence of the Lambs. In 2011, he was included in the video game Batman Arkham City as a character, where he retains the Hannibal Lecter vibe, but now he is like a fat, gross slob of a man who brags about his killings to Batman whenever you visit his cell on the real calendar dates of the holiday. So I think that's actually pretty cool. You could set up your calendar on the PlayStation. So for example, if you're playing the Batman Arkham video game on Christmas on December 25th, and you visit the character in video game on that date, he will give you a different scene. He'll talk about a murder that he committed on Christmas. If you go back the next day, he won't talk about that until the next holiday coming up, which would be New Year's. So I think that's pretty cool. The video game version is the most popular version. I think that this is how most comic fans picture him now. So they tried to do the Mr. Freeze type reboot with him, as I mentioned, where he was a joke character and they turned him serious. They tried to do that here with Calendar Girl, but for some reason it just never caught on. I like Calendar Girl. I think she's a very cool villain. I wish they would have done more with her. She reminds me a lot of Baby Doll, especially that ending where she breaks down crying on the broken piece of glass. And that's the history on Calendar Man, which is a history on Calendar Girl somehow. So why don't we move on to the Batcave Archives.
To the Batmobile. Let's go. Atomic batteries to power. Turbines to speed.
Roger. Ready to move out.
All right, everybody. The Batcave Archives is the part of the show where we rank each episode we have reviewed thus far. I really like this episode a lot. I really, really like Calendar Girl as a villain. I don't know. This is a good episode, but I would not rank this in the top 10. I don't even know if I would rank it in the top 20. It's pretty cool, but I don't know. It's a kind of just pretty straight out story of revenge. I liked it, but let's see. Where would we put this one? As I mentioned, it reminds me a lot of Baby Doll. And we have Baby Doll ranked at number 23. I think Baby Doll's a better episode than this one. And I could see here that there's a lot of sentimental episodes around in the 20s. We got Mad as a Hatter, which is the first appearance of Mad Hatter. That one's really good. Baby Doll. Underneath that, we have Sideshow, where Killer Croc betrays those Sideshow henchmen in the circus. I'm sorry, Sideshow freaks from the circus. Underneath, we have Mudslide, which is the episode with Clayface where he's trying to become human again. Never Fear. That's actually, I think, a pretty good spot. At number 26, that is the episode with Scarecrow where he's poisoning the water supply. And everybody thinks Batman is crazy because he got exposed to the fear toxin. And underneath that, we have Vendetta, which is the episode with Killer Croc. I don't know. As I said, this is a good one. You know what? I really do like it that much. I think that this one does deserve. It is better than Never Fear. So let's make this quick because I don't know how much voice I have left to continue with this. At our new number 26, cripes on Friday. I don't even remember the name of the episode. That's not good. Mean Seasons. I knew I was going to get it eventually. Mean Seasons is the title of this episode, and it is our new number 26. Alright everybody, thank you for listening, and if you have any questions, suggestions, or thoughts on the reviewed episodes or the show in general, send them to captain_marvelous1@yahoo.com. Just a quick recap, because I arrived from Vegas like an hour ago. I wrote this up, recorded it, but the Elimination Chamber quick review, it was really, really fun. A lot of fun. The chamber matches were good. The tag team match was good. I mean, I guess you could say that the kind of boring match was Bray Wyatt versus Matt Hardy. But other than that, it was a really fun pay-per-view, and being there live was great. I had a lot of fun going to that. Once again, I want to thank my friend Mikey for taking me, for inviting me. That was a lot of fun. So thank you, Mikey. Everybody, I have been your host, Captain Marvelous. And remember, no matter where you're from, no matter who you are, we are my calendar girl. Yeah, sweet calendar girl. I love my calendar girl. Each and every day of the year. January, you start the year off fine. February, you're my little Valentine. March, I'm gonna march you down the aisle. April, you're the Easter bunny when you smile. Steal the show. Yeah, yeah. My heart's in a whirl. I love, I love, I love my little calendar girl. Every day, every day, every day, every day of the tree. Yeah, yeah, my heart's in a